In other words, my suffering should mirror Jesus in my set of circumstances, and my response should do so as well. The Bible says in verse 22, speaking of Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When under suffering, he did not sin. When under suffering, he did not deceive to sidestep the suffering. He says in the next verse that when reviled, Jesus reviled not again. To revile means to passionately denounce. Jesus didn't engage in that. When he was threatened, he threatened not. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way to follow Christ into suffering. Now remember, it's suffering because you're doing the right thing if you've chosen that. But that's also the way to follow Christ into suffering that's beyond your control. I've seen suffering turn good people bitter. I've seen suffering take an open heart and close that heart. I've seen suffering take a person who was gregarious and make them a loner. Pain, suffering, whatever it may be, it can fundamentally change a person. And the Bible says that not ought so to be. The Bible teaches us that when we follow Christ into a place of suffering, that we can mimic his sufferings, that we can mimic his spirit and his attitude, and that coming out to the other side, whatever that other side might look like, coming out to the other side, I can be more like him and transformed by the power of the cross. The cross is a place of suffering, but don't forget this. The cross is a place of great transformation. And then the final step, and I'll just touch on this, is this. In the face of suffering, I'm to commit myself to God. Look at the end of verse number 23. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he reviled. When reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now note these words. But committed himself, Jesus did, to him. To whom? To God. Committed himself to him that judges righteously. And then those famous verses, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Pastor, wait a minute. Yeah, he in the midst of his sufferings, he committed himself to God who judges righteously. What does that have with him dying on the cross? It has everything. Because God who judges righteously from eternity past, in his great plan and wisdom, decided to send his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son and the Son of God, to die and suffer on the cross for our sins. In other words, when Jesus died for our sins, he was committing himself to God. And so we remember his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. Pastor, what came of that suffering? Look at this. Every person in this room who has come to Christ as Savior is born again because of the suffering of Jesus. When you commit yourself to God in the midst of suffering and recognize he has a bigger purpose. Ah, Pastor, I can't see any purpose to what I'm going through. Sometimes God doesn't show you, okay? When you commit yourself to God and recognize that there's a bigger purpose and recognize that God loves you and recognize that God is channeling his grace to you and perhaps to other people in the course of your suffering, when you do that, you recognize that God can be trusted. You commit your way to him. That is when suffering is not just a personal thing, but it gives meaning to the people around you. And for 30 years as a pastor, I've watched people. Some people go through tremendous dark valleys and do so with a dignity and grace that influenced others, that helped lift someone else up, that buoyed someone else steady on the seas of life. It's unfortunate to admit I've seen some people who just buckle under it. They don't recognize God has a greater plan. They don't see a purpose in it all. How much better to say, Lord, if you're going to bring suffering my way, then I'm going to submit to it. Lord, if you're going to bring suffering my way, then I'm still going to respect people, maybe even the people who brought the suffering to me. Lord, if you're going to allow suffering in my life, then I'm going to endure that wrongful suffering. Lord, if it's going to come, then I'm going to follow Christ through it. And Lord, if it's going to come, I'm going to commit myself to you. That's the way through. Preacher, how do you handle pressure in life? Not always the best, right? But this is an example, and this is a command. And this is the way that every experience of life can have meaning and fullness, because God is in control. Father, thank you for your word written originally to a group of Christians who were greatly persecuted, who suffered greatly. Lord, we too face suffering, not usually of the persecution variety. But Father, it's so easy for us to push against it. Help us, Lord, to understand that ultimately the sufferings of Jesus led to our redemption and our salvation through his shed blood. Father, may we learn a different pathway through a dark valley. May we not go a direction that poisons our own soul, which does nothing to change circumstances. It just poisons us. Father, and I pray, if any need to come to Christ, they'll come this morning confessing him as their Savior. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.